the revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We call him the third person of the Trinity. But without him, nothing can be made. Nothing. All the things that God created was not possible without the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the power of the Trinity. When Jesus came here, Jesus did all of the wonders that he did on earth because the Holy Spirit was on him. Of course, he lived on earth even though he was God in the flesh. He lived on earth for 30 years without doing one miracle. Until at the age of 30, he went to John for baptism, and then John baptized him, and then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and in 3 years, he changed the destiny of that nation, the nation of Israel. In 3 years of being anointed, he has lived there for 30 years and had no impact. The only thing he was doing is that he was a carpenter making furniture and doing that just like any of us here, doing your business, pursuing your career. But in 3 years of the anointing coming upon him, the whole nation was shaking to his very foundation. Numbers chapter 11. Before I read that, I want to let you know God has one vision. He has one mission on the earth, and that vision is his redemptive plan. He has many strategies for accomplishing it, but he has one vision. He wants to see the whole world saved. He wants to see the whole Lagos of 21 million people saved. He wants to see the whole nation of Nigeria saved. To accomplish that, God has multidimensional strategy, which is basically, he has a plan to use every member of the body of Christ, every believer. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. Anybody that wants to catch the anointing must begin by catching the vision of God. That's where it starts. The first key to the anointing is not prayer. Prayer comes after this. Because there are people that have prayed and didn't get anything. The first key, if you want to have the hand of God, the power of God come upon your life, the first thing you must do is catch God's vision or catch God's burden. There is something that is called the heartbeat of God. It's souls. The salvation of people. The scripture said it this way, it is not his will that anybody should perish. So once you go out there and you hear all the stories in the newspapers, in our news media, and all the stories that spread around every day, every week in this nation and around the world, how many people died of accidents? How many people are dying of cancer? How many people are dying of kidney failure? Let me show you one scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the Almighty God that did the creation. But the means by which he did it is revealed in verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the ultimate power in the universe, which is the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. If you study Genesis chapter 1 and go down to Genesis chapter 6 and 7, where Noah's flood came, and you do a careful study of the role of the Holy Spirit in the first creation, and when the earth was swallowed again by water, how he brought back land, dry land, you will see some amazing things. There were four layers. When the earth was initially created, it was a planet covered with water. That's what you just read here. That word deep, deep, deep. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the deep. It's water. We were in South Africa in December, so I took Pastor Sarah and I. We were in Cape Town, you know, and we had some time to relax after all of our preaching and all that. So the pastor said, there is a place where they take you to go and see dolphin, and you see sea lions, and you see some of these other creatures in the sea. So in my head, I just calculated, okay, like we have Lagos, you can drive out to Inagwe Island here with a small boat and all that. When we got to the place, it was where this Atlantic Ocean met the Indian Ocean. There's another ocean east of Africa. Atlantic is this one that we see in Lagos. Africa is surrounded by two oceans. They met at a particular point. Is that place they are taking us? So, we got into the boat. Everybody put on their life jacket. We put on our own. A lot of white people. And then, the boat took off. Until you look, you can't see land. You look this way, no land. Anywhere, land is water. And then all of a sudden, this wave came that will reach the height of this roof. And it lifted that boat. And the next thing, it dropped. We fell on the floor. Water was splashing in. Of course, Pastor Sarah went inside. And I said, oh God, what kind of mistake did I make today? How did I get myself into this kind of problem? And where do you start? I looked again all around. And as we were looking, the next one was coming. Because we had gone to the, you know, and then the boat and start normalizing, and the next wave picks it up. And it was higher than the former one, and it drops. Oh no, by this time, if there was any means of escape here. My biggest problem is that I am not turning back. We were all screaming. And my mind started calculating fast. As I looked, I saw the third one coming. And my head was thinking about sharks and all those stuff in the water. I said, even if, okay, this thing goes over, we have life jacket, we'll be on top. But what about the legs? For the first time in my life, I got a glimpse of what the disciples felt that day that the storm hit them in their boats. Because I was wondering, these men are fishermen, why are they afraid of the water? I thought they are job people in the Bible. The third one lifted us much higher than. I was sitting on the floor of the. Then I looked up. I saw the white people standing. They are not afraid. I said, ah. They are holding different pillars. So the thing will shake them when they finish. You see them even laughing. Ah. And I got up and joined one of them. I held the pillar. I held behind him. But when you truly have a journey in the sea, if you have a boat cruise, and you get out in the sea, where you look in all directions, everything you see is water. That's how it was on the whole earth. One ocean covered the whole earth. And then on top of that water, the Bible said darkness was upon the face of the deep. So you have the earth cross that has been created in Genesis 1:1. You have water over it. You have darkness covering the water. On top of that darkness and the water, God sent a force. You see, this earth where you live, the physical world is a three-dimensional world. That's why I don't want to use terms that some of us will not understand, but if you did small mathematics, when we talk about dimension, if you draw a line on your paper, we call it a one-dimensional. If you keep drawing other lines, after a while, you get a plane, you know, like a ruler, like a piece of stick. But a stick, like wood or plank, is three-dimensional. This one is three-dimensional. This speaker. The whole physical world is a three-dimensional world. So when they want to draw a cube, like sugar, a box, they will draw one line this way, draw the other line this way, and then another line will go up. And then they will fix them, and you have the box where you can put things. Because it's a three-dimensional. That's our world. The physical world. The material world. There is a fourth dimension. That one that is brooding on the material world. The material world has four elements. Water, earth, wind, and fire. That's what they call the four major elements you have here. There's a movie that my children watch sometimes, and they were discussing it. You know, is it the wind bender or the water bender? One of those things. What is it called? Who has the Avatar? And you have all those guys. This one will have power on this particular element. There is one that can control water. There's another one that can control the wind. There's one that can control the earth. It's one that can control fire. And they were really discussing which one is most powerful. Study your Bible. According to the one that made the earth, the weakest in the order is the earth.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
There's a movie that my children watch sometimes, and they were discussing it. You know, is it the wind bender or the water bender? One of those things. What is it called? Who has the Avatar? And you have all those guys. This one will have power on this particular element. There is one that can control water. There's another one that can control the wind. There's one that can control the earth. It's one that can control fire. And they were really discussing which one is most powerful. Study your Bible. According to the one that made the earth, the weakest in the order is the earth. Water controls the earth. And in Genesis chapter 7, God demonstrated that by using water to destroy everything here. Because the earth came out of the womb of water. The earth was born out of water. Then the wind controls water. That wave we're talking about is the wind that brought it. The wind can take this Atlantic Ocean and throw it upon the whole Lagos. And wipe out all these buildings. So sometimes you see that on TV, hurricane, tornado, and all of those things. And the wind can control the material thing. The wind can wipe out all the buildings in this island. But there's something else that controls wind. It's the sun, fire. to get a wind to start moving is heat. To get it to do some other thing is heat. If not, wind is not supposed to be harmful if it's just like air, like we have here. But there's something you can do now. You set fire here. You see things, they will start moving. And there are things you can do. You can get this wind to start moving, and it can become violence. What controls all the elements is the spirit. That's what Genesis 1 is trying to, verse 2 is trying to. The spirit of God moved upon everything. Everything. So you will see, when God used flood to destroy the earth in the time of Noah, when there was flood again, just like it was in Genesis 1, the whole earth has been drowned. And God wanted to begin again the process of bringing back the dry land. The first thing he did was to release the wind and to release the spirit. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you all this. If your life right now is at 0 point, just like Genesis 1-2, the earth was without form and void. If where you are now, you are completely in darkness, nothing is happening. If where you are in a state of being void and formless and shapeless, no destiny. It doesn't look like everything is in disorder, because that's what was going on here. What you need is to make contact with the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing, because I looked at that woman in that room, there was no faith. If you had faith, by the time you get here and see her, you lose the one you had. I just looked at her and I said, "Madam, I want to introduce somebody to you. His name is the Holy Spirit. The church world introduces him as a healer. Somebody that can heal the sick, set the captives free. But I want to introduce him to you as a creator. He's the one that created everything. That's why when God made man, what he did was take three-dimensional mold and make a three-dimensional body. Which is, anytime anything is in three-dimension, it's material, it's physical. Anything that is in three-dimension is physical. Fourth dimension is the spirit world. So he made a three-dimensional body. It's like you mold the statue of Chifawolo or Saduana of Sokoto or any of our founding fathers, and you make the statue. That's a statue. But the Lord now did something. He introduced a fourth dimension. The Bible says he breathed on that the breath of life. So I say, woman, your body, your kidney was made from soil. When a human being dies, you decay back and return back to the soil. We are just chemicals, carbon. You know? Hydrocarbons. I said, but there was something God did that made ordinary mud become a living person. That thing, and I said, the person that did it is the Holy Spirit. If that same person touches your kidneys, I don't know how the doctors will explain kidney failure, whether they are capillaries that have blocked down what and what that happened to the kidney. But the person that started from mud and created a kidney that is working can take the one that is not working well and create a perfect one. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I'm not just talking about the Holy Spirit as a healer. Thank God for healing. You know, I was preaching, it was beginning of the year, we had our prophetic summit into the new year, and I came in into our church in Anambra State to preach, and there was a woman, it was a 3 days event, there was a woman sitting in the front, she cried all through my message, so I didn't understand why she was crying. So, the next night, she came again and sat in the front, and I don't know why she would sit in the front. And she was crying while I was preaching. So halfway, I said, "Lord, this woman must be a very bad person. Maybe she has committed a lot of sins. And she's being disturbed by that. please let me go and encourage her. So I, on my own, I walked close and started talking. If you have done anything bad, the Lord will forgive you. He gave his son to die on the cross. And I was trying to encourage, to let her know, no matter what it is, God will forgive you. And she was crying more. So I left. So I came the last day, and I was going to go back. She was sitting in front, crying again. So I said, Lord, So I went again to encourage her. This time around, I had an instruction. Say, shut up. You didn't ask me what it was. You just assumed that she was under guilt of sin. He said, when you get close to her, don't try to encourage her about forgiveness. Declare over her that whatever has been taken out of her body is restored and created back now. Anyway, I was preaching and there was no time to start getting all the... So I walked up. I said, Madam, the Lord just asked me to let you know whatever that was removed from your body is restored. And I noticed she fell and stopped crying and started praising God. So I was wondering, what kind of crazy human being is this? I didn't even know what the meaning of what I said. I went on and finished my message and traveled. Was it January 1st? I'm not sure if the timing, you know. I think it was January 1st when I came back and they showed me the baby. Because I traveled. And I came for prophetic summit and we had a program. And I passed through that place. And the pastor and they brought a baby boy. They say, you remember this woman? I said, no, I don't know her. He said, don't you remember that you prayed for her? I said, I can't remember anything. I don't think we have met. He said, no, I was the woman that was sitting last time crying in the front. I said, okay, I remember that lady, but you look different. You are shining now. And her husband was standing beside. He said, I had an operation and they removed the womb. He said, my husband, the reason I came, somebody told me what God was doing in your ministry. So I decided to come, you know, because the husband had brought in another woman, hired a flat. In order not to cause trouble, he didn't sack her. He left her in the house and then got another lady, put her in a flat, furnished it, and he will go there. Sometimes he will return in the morning. He said, what do you expect me to do? He said to me that he was the one that signed the document before the doctors operated. And because there was a growth that was spreading in her body and they advised that they had to remove the womb to save her life. Sometimes it's good if God doesn't tell us, because sometimes our own mind can get in. You start wondering. But over the years, it doesn't bother me anymore what God says. I know he has the ability. It doesn't bother me. When I was growing up, some things he says that are very crazy. I don't understand them. How can you say that a woman without a womb is going to have a baby? Last time he told me that Oka Prophetic Summit, you were in Oka Pastor Shola pastoring them. That lady that also removed her womb. But then it wasn't a big deal anymore. I've seen a couple of that. It was a big deal that God could do that, but it wasn't a big deal believing him. That's what I'm saying. I don't diminish God's work at all. But I can't do it. So she got pregnant after that service. She went to meet her husband, you know, and they did their business and she got pregnant. When she was 3 months, the husband said, who are you fooling? Actually, I got to hear from her testimony that there are places women go and they give them things to drink and their tummy swell. So the husband was also accusing us, because I never even got to meet him, but according to him, because he knew that it was impossible. How can you get pregnant? So he said, I know what you are doing. Because he had made up his mind he was going to have children. So I know what you are doing. You're trying to derail me. You cannot. So after a while, he now abandoned her completely. We just provide fun, but you know, until that baby was born, I said, doubting Thomas, have you now believed? He said he has believed, though. Why are such things possible? Because the person we are discussing is the Holy Spirit who created the womb in the first place.
I offer my life as a living sacrifice to your will. Just take it all.
By your spirit, we enter in into this door that is opened by
Jesus Christ. Just take it all. So come and take all of me. Father, come take all of me. Spirit, take all of me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Pastor, you gave a word about two cases. One about tonsillitis.
Yes.
So this lady had tonsillitis. It has totally gone now.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody also came here with a growth in your throat. You came with tonsillitis and another person with a growth. It just vanished right now. In the name of Jesus.
This one had a tooth that was growing and then he said
a what?
A tooth that was growing and then stopped halfway.
Yes.
And it was painful.
Any other person that had any leg or anything shorter than the other or one part longer than the other, by the power of creation, by the power, we command them to equal now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
When you gave the word this night, that tooth grew back full and the pain has disappeared.
The tooth grew back. Come on, my dear. Give Jesus praise. Tell me about it. What are you saying?
My tooth was growing and I thought it was toothache. So I went to treat it. And I mistreated it. And because of that, the tooth refused to grow. Other ones were growing, but that one refused to grow. I usually feel the gap. I can pass. I use my tongue to pass that place anyhow I like. But this night, when you prayed for the tooth, I just used my tongue and I went there. I felt a full tooth there. The space was not there again. The tooth appeared. Immediately, I just used my tongue to check it.
Pastor, there's a miracle here. This lady, 10 years ago, she had a problem with her eyes and she would suddenly go blind. And then she would shout, Jesus said, the eye will start opening. And she went to the doctor. They said it was like glaucoma and it was spreading from the left eye to the right eye. She has been using these glasses to see, but the power of God came upon her now. So she's seeing brighter than she used to see before the problem came.
Come on. How did it start? Was it gradual or what?
I'll just go blind
now. Go blind completely?
Yes, I won't see anything.
Anything at all?
No. So last year, I tried to now go to the hospital because I was scared. Because my other siblings also, they have glaucoma.
There's a glaucoma case I just lifted. And you not only that, you had a lot of pressure on your eyes, pains. The pressure is too much. It just lifted and all the headaches too vanished with it. Just give him praise. Give him praise. Oh, it's in the family. Stretch your hands. I think I need to close. Stretch your hands. Father, we thank you for her healing. But now, destroy the root of it. Catch!
This man, 2014, had a motor accident. And after that, one leg became shorter than the other one.
Whoa!
And you gave a word.
Whoa!
You gave a word concerning it.
Do what you could not do before. Somebody had one leg shorter than the other. That leg just grew out right now as I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Get up and move. Get up and move.
When the prayer was going on,
whoa,
he felt a vibration and the other leg grew out and joined the other one.
Whoa. Give Jesus praise.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogbeni.
Everybody lift up your hands. That's why in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see all kinds of things here. There is nothing you will not see here. You will see some things you'll be wondering. So, is this still possible? Lift up your hands. Say, Holy Spirit, I know that you are there. I want to know you. You are the third person of the Trinity. You are a person. I have heard of your power, but I want to know you as a person. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Open my eyes that I will know the one that made me. We're going to come back to that later, not in this service, when I'm going to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit to you. And when he is introduced to people, he shows up. And there are things he does. There are things he does. If I am introduced to you, probably you will shake my hand. And you get to meet Pastor David. But the Holy Spirit, that's why I said we're going to deal with the person of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to deal with his power. And we're going to deal with his gifts. Then we're going to deal with his ministries. Because they are these things are different. For example, I am a ministry gift. Pastor Shola is a ministry gift. The office of a pastor is a gift given to the body. The office of an evangelist, a teacher, an apostle, and so on. They are ministry gifts. That's human beings that God has anointed and equipped and giving them to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to the world. But then that is ministry gift. When you receive a ministry gift, you must go into ministry. You don't receive it to sit down. Or it brings judgment to you. If God calls you into ministry, you must respond. But then there are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not ministry gifts. These are gifts that God gives to the members of the body of Christ so they can begin to fulfill their role in ministry. What's the difference between the ministry of the members of the body of Christ and the ministry of the ministry gifts? The ministry gifts are like coaches in a football match that are brought in to train the rest of the footballers to win the match. Real ministry is done by the members of the body of Christ. That's why the Bible said he has made us kings and priests. Everybody say that. He has made me. He has made me a king and a priest. I don't need to show you many scriptures on that. You already know that. It's all over the Bible. He has made us kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. If you accept these callings and begin to function, it will bring you to dominion. It will bring you to prominence. It will distinguish you. It doesn't matter your career or your industry. To be able to function in this, he released an anointing and gifts. In the Old Testament, there are only three people that are anointed. 80 to 90% of them function in the spiritual terrain. They are called prophets and then, of course, priests. Three groups of people. Prophets, priests, and king. Usually less than 10% of them you find in the kingly office. Majority of them are priests. You can have a whole generation, 40 years period, and you have just one or two prophets. You can imagine during the time of Samuel, he was the only prophet. And then he anointed Saul, the king, and when Saul messed up, he anointed David. What about the rest of the people? They were kept without the anointing. So what was going on is that anytime they need to hear from God or they need to come in contact with the power of God, they will travel to where the priests are. Or they will travel to go and inquire from the prophets. That Old Testament model is what many pastors love today. Many pastors like it. So they don't want to turn God's people into New Testament dynamics. There is a new dynamics in the New Testament. Many pastors like it because to them, they will like to keep the monopoly of the anointing. The monopoly of ministry. So that everybody will be coming to them. But that's very stupid. Having been in ministry for close to 30 years now, I can tell you, a pastor that does not want to live long, let him create that kind of lopsided ministry. The demand will be so much, he will kill you. I've been believing God and looking for opportunity to create a housing scheme for pastors, especially the senior pastors. I just found out now that I can launch it. I can do it. That's part of what I'm believing God for this year. So that the minimum is at least one person every year. Let's get him a complete house. One person. Dominion City pastors. And we're going to start it with PCJ because the criteria we set there is anybody that has not just built a congregation, but has built God a church building. Our policy here is you build God church, then you are qualified to have a house. You can't go and put yourself first. And we even qualify that. PCJ has built two. So, Pastor Shola, you need to move fast. House is smelling around you. And then we also brought another one. If somebody builds a congregation of 2,000 people and above, we get in land. So, I've been looking for a way. You know, I'm blessed with heart. But whether you have heart or not, if you don't have means, you can't do it. Then there's another scheme. During the Pentecost service, I'll be talking about, which is the mission support. You know, these ones that are trapped, because I have been there, I know the suffering, what it takes, mission, what I have gone through in the field. Missions. Many of you don't know what missions is. You think it's crusade, the type you can do in Lagos. Mosquitoes dealt with us. Somehow, God kept us healthy. So I want to thank you. You know, I haven't been in the field and I'm still going. I understand what the people, we have pastors in different countries. You don't know what they're going through. Anybody that cares about mission, God will put provision in your hand. Amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 9. Let's look at it one more time. When you want to get the anointing, this is where you start. You catch the vision of God. After this, I beheld a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. I wish I can read further, but this is the vision of the harvest. How many people made it in the rapture? If you want to read further, you will see it. All these people made it into heaven. Multitudes that no one can number. Multitudes that no one can number. There are people among you who wonder why we're still planting churches. This is the reason. We build things like this, people think it's anything. No. God is talking about billions of souls. I actually, the problem God has with the church is when we abandon his mission. Once a church has abandoned the mission of God, he has lost his reason for existing. Multitudes that no one can number. From every language spoken on earth, every tribe, every people group, and every nation. What is God's strategy for reaching them? Verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. They sung a new song. Said, "You are worthy to take the book, open the seal, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us. Redeem men and women to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." Watch, oh, God is after tongues, people, tongues, and nations. Oh, God is after this four classification of people: every nation on earth, every people group, every language that is spoken, and every family or kindred. That's what I just read for you. And by the time he brings them together, it's a multitude that cannot be numbered, billions. So his strategy is to go in such families, in such tribes, among such people groups, and pick certain people to himself. He redeems them. And when he redeems them, look at what he does, verse 10. "And had made us unto our God," what? "Kings and priests." The reason God came to my community, and I was 12 years old, and saved me, he was thinking about my family. He was thinking about the whole community. He was thinking about the tribe from where I came from. He was thinking about Nigeria. And he was thinking about Africa. What is the problem that God has? Self-centeredness. Selfishness. You have been saved now. Look at the kind of things that God did here in camp meeting. Somebody that is stupid we think is just for you. No. You were exposed to the move of God so you can become his instrument to reach your generation. I was exposed to something like that once or twice. You catch the vision of God, then you catch the strategy of God. What is God's strategy, men? His strategy is not program, not TV, not crusade. Men, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap. Who shall I send who will go for us?" And to find men, it will come to families, come to communities, come to people groups, come to tribes, and pick a few people. In the hand of those few people, he commits the salvation of the rest. Some of you here are carrying the salvation of millions of souls. Some of you are carrying the salvation of thousands of souls. If you die without reaching them, you have aborted God's plan, and you have also sent many people to hell. There are people that will not come to the kingdom through the preaching of Pastor Shola. There are people that will not come to the kingdom through the preaching of Pastor David. If I like, let me become a monk. Let me refuse to eat for now till Jesus return and become a broom so that I can convince people that Jesus, he will stay. There are people that will not come through my ministry. There are people that will not be rich except you obey God. Those people, you know them. They are in your circle of influence. They are in your world. Many of them are your family members. Many of them are for your tribe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read from verse 20. Okay, to get verse 20 to make sense, I need to show you verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's personal salvation. Verse 18. All these new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Look at the two things God did. Number one, he reconciled us to himself. What is the next one? And gave us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Can you see the two packages? One is your salvation. The other one is your ministry. God saves you. He turns you into the instrument for saving others.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
God saves you. He turns you into the instrument for saving others. God reconciles you. You now become his instrument for reconciling others. God calls you. You become the tool for calling others. God reconciles us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of saving people, reconciling men and God. Say with me, I have been reconciled to God, and now I have a ministry of reconciling others. Say with me, God has saved me, and now I have a ministry of saving others. Say with me, God has called me, and now I have a ministry of calling others. So verse 20 said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us. God is now talking to human beings through human beings. He's using us to talk to you. As though God beseech you by us, be reconciled to God. So this is what God is doing on the earth. Till the rapture takes place. And he's using people that he has brought to himself to reach others. And that's what is leading us to Pentecost. God said, after camp meeting, I want you to hold a Pentecost conference. Declare a 50 days of prayer all the way to the day of Pentecost. He said, I'm going to come and I'll clothe men within those 50 days with every gifts of the Spirit that is available. Every anointing, I will put it on people. I want you to get ready because that's what is about to happen. Every type of anointing that the kingdom of God has is going to be released on men and women here. He said, but show them the purpose of it. Anointing has purpose. Healing has purpose. The salvation of people. Can you show them that scripture? When he was in Jerusalem, many believed on him. John chapter 2, there is one recorded there. There is another one in John chapter 4. But you can show the one of John 2. Many believed on him when they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So what is the purpose of miracles? What's the purpose of the anointing? What's the purpose of the power? Salvation of people. What is the strategy? Men. Men. You and I. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. The key to salvation of people is the supernatural. If a church is not growing, they don't have the supernatural there. If many people are not coming to Christ, you are not preaching with the supernatural. That's why the power of God is going to be coming on you. I want you to know why. If you do it without the anointing, you will get minimal results.
I offer my life as a living sacrifice to your will. Just take it all.
And by your spirit, we enter in into this door that is opened by
Jesus Christ. Just take it all. So come and take all of me. Yes. Father, come take all of me. Spirit, take all of me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
God is not giving us miracles or gifts of the Spirit so we can go and become proud and start thinking that you are somebody special. It's his means of calling people's attention that God is still alive, that Jesus is who he said that he is. If you can get the understanding, you position yourself for a mighty move of God in your life. There is a mission, and God wants to save the world. He has a strategy. The strategy is using people that are already saved. Then he has an enablement, an empowerment to make those men effective. And that's where the anointing comes in. I want to start rounding up, but I want to ask you a question. Jesus spent 3.5 years training his disciples. He had the 12, the ones he called the apostles. Then he sent another group he called, there are 70 that were evangelists, and they went and they did mighty works. And then finally his disciples grew, as at the time when he ascended back to heaven, there were about 500 of them. That's what the Bible said. And he gave them instruction and said, go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. I want to ask you a question. He has trained them for 3.5 years. What is so special about the power of the Holy Spirit that the training alone cannot handle the mission? Some of you have all kinds of skills. You've been to Harvard, you've been to LBS, you've been to all kinds of training, corporate governance, this and that, professional skills of different types. And you have the skills you are using to build your organization, your business, you understand marketing, you understand customer service, you understand all of that. What is so special about the Holy Spirit that all this knowledge is not enough? Jesus said, tarry. He rose again from the dead. He has gone to the cross, paid the awesome price for our redemption. You remember what PCJ was teaching in camp meeting about the power of the cross? As powerful as the cross was, he has risen from the dead. And he came and said to them, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore. But before then, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. I want to know, what is this thing about the Holy Spirit that even a man that understands the cross, that has the gospel, that has been trained, is still not sufficient to undertake this job? What is this in that good teaching is not enough? What is this in that education is not enough? Mentorship is not enough. Professional skill is not enough. Why is it that you don't have many souls? many people that you have brought into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is called the Lord of the harvest. You ignore him, you ignore the most important person and the most important thing you need on the job. I've shown you that there is a mission. I've shown you that the strategy is you. God wants to use you. Ministry gifts in the Old Testament dominated the whole ministry, and the rest of the people were there doing nothing, going to them. So God said, I have a new plan in the New Testament. Show it to them. Acts chapter 2. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I want you to know, the man he sent to declare this was Joel the prophet in Joel chapter 2. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, Peter quoted Joel and told them, please show it to them. He said, this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Start with the verse before 16. Some people thought that those men were drunken because they were speaking in tongues. In verse 15, and Peter said, these men are not drunken. But this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And look at it, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon how many flesh? How many? How many? God wants to do with ordinary people what he used to do with only the prophets. As you read your Bible, there's nothing you will not see. Nothing that these prophets could not do. When we read about Jesus multiplying bread and fish, he was not the first to do that. Elisha did it. And fed many people. All the gifts of the Spirit were functioning in the Old Testament except two, tongues and interpretation. Of the nine gifts of the Spirit, seven of them were functioning in the Old Testament. Not just that they function at maximum capacity. The gift of working of miracle, there was a man there who could divide the water. His name was Moses. For 3 million people to pass, he divided the sea. But there was another man, his name was Elijah. He divided River Jordan for only two people to pass. And that was when I knew that this thing was serious. Because I said, okay, if God divides the Red Sea, it's important because there were many people that needed to cross. But how do you divide a river for only two people? And then Elisha crossed the river with him, and the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha. So the same anointing came upon him, and as he was returning back, he got to the river. He struck the water. The water divided for only one person to pass.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
I said, God, there is no miracle you will mention in the New Testament that they had not done in the Old. Jesus raised people from the dead. He wasn't the first. Elijah did it. Elisha did it. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit who created the universe. He has been active in the earth since. But there are changes that have happened in the New Testament that made it awesome. One of those changes is that the monopoly of ministry has been unleashed now. The people are now given, everybody, he said, all flesh, all flesh. That's why I told you, God is not looking for talent. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Just offer your vessel and see what is going to happen. Who shall I send? Who shall go for us? You just say, here am I. I make myself available. I give you my life. I'm not worthy. I'm not fit. But cleanse me and use me. That's another thing about the New Testament. The Old Testament were looking for people that were holy. New Testament is looking for ordinary people that are messed up. Dirty vessels. But all they have to do is ask God to cleanse so he can use. Offer it as you are. In the old, he has to find somebody that is clean. Here he finds dirty vessels and he cleans them. There is a detergent now that can clean up any life. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's holy son, that was shed on Calvary. Doesn't matter how far you have gone away. Doesn't matter how messed up you think you are. If you ask him to take up your life and do something wonderful with it, oh my God, my friends, you will be shocked. You are actually the candidate. You are the one he is looking for. I think you need to show them this. It will help. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You can begin from verse 28. Or just find the words and help me. Okay, move back a little. Maybe 26. Let me see if it's a good place for it to make sense. Yes, 26. You see your calling, brethren. Watch. I want you to see the kind of people God uses. The kind of people he calls. You see your calling, brethren. How not many wise men after the flesh are called. You see? He's not looking for intellectuals. Professors. Yet he uses professors if they can humble themselves and surrender their vessel. Look at it. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. He's not looking for somebody that, you know, or maybe the wealthiest in the society. That's not what God is looking for. Not many nobles, you see. If not, it should be in the Senate now that the Holy Spirit should be moving, looking for. Yet he will use a senator if they will humble themselves. Maybe you don't get this yet. Can I get a bottle of water and a glass? This is Holy Spirit ready to pour his power on people. But there is only one thing he requires. This is me. Or you, anybody who is coming to receive, there's only one thing he requires. Move your cup as I'm trying to pour. Be moving your cup up. Can you see what this guy is doing? He is not positioned to receive. Be sending it up as I'm pouring. Can you see what this guy is doing? What is he supposed to do to get the water? That is the problem. It's not that God does not use mighty men. God is not looking for some superhero. He's looking for... This is it. You see, not many wise men, not many mighty men, not many nobles are called. Verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. God has chosen the base things. You know, base, things that are humiliated, that are not treated as anything. The things that are despised had God chosen. The things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. What is the purpose of all this? That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know the meaning of the word glory. So nobody can boast. God start using you. You get into that attitude of boasting and pride. If not for me, the kingdom of God, God will drop you like a tissue paper. You know, vessel of dishonor. He will just drop you. You become a discarded thing like a tissue paper. You become a yesterday. He said that no flesh will boast in his sight. If you add one more verse, it says, so that anyone that glory, let him glory in the Lord. God has a vision. He wants to reach the world. He has a strategy. It's to use men and women that he has saved to reach the others. Every disciple making other disciples. Every cell planting other cells. Every church planting other churches. Every believer winning other believers. That's God's strategy. Then he has another plan to put his anointing on them so that they will be effective. This is how it closes. When the anointing comes, three things it comes to do. Note, it's a triangle. It brings the supernatural, and the supernatural will bring mass salvation, a lot of people. Then God rewards the individual with abundance. I want you to notice the three things. Anywhere at all you like, find it. The first is the outpouring of the Spirit to bring the power of God. The second is salvation of souls. The third is economic and financial restoration. There has never been a move of God that did not change the economy of that place wherever it happened. There is one more move of God according to prophecy, and this one is going to be spearheaded by Africans and Asians, not Europeans. In this last hour, be watching the kind of people God will be using at the forefront. There are black people, there are Chinese, there are Indians, Asians. Another group, he said, when he is these people that were kept away from the other move of God that happened in history, the Latinos, South Americans. This last and final move is what used to be called the third world nations. By the time it's true, it will have not only brought millions to Christ, it will have also changed the economic fortunes of not only the individuals but those people. What happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out? It just removes a veil from your eyes. You just start realizing all the things you call problems are opportunities. All the things you call problems are businesses. All the things you call problems are ministries. You hear about widows, that's a ministry. You hear about HIV, that's a big ministry. You hear that a lot of singles in Lagos, mature singles, women are turning into their 40s and 50s and they're not finding a husband. Big ministry. People are dying. Ministry. One side is ministry, one side business. That's why God said he's raising kings and priests, because the kings use business and social platforms to reach their world. The priests use religious platforms. There are different platforms. There is modality. There is sodality. Everybody will not go and become a pastor of a church. But everybody is going to pastor somebody and reach a lot of people. So why the strategy is men, the structure differs. For next Sunday, we are going to turn the power of the Holy Spirit loose on people. You know, I've just laid the foundation so you can get it. Don't pull yourself out and say, I'm not qualified. You are exactly, if you think you're not qualified, you're the type of person God is looking for. Because he's looking for people that when he finishes using, the glory will come back to him. Not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. And when God takes a nobody and he anoints, he becomes something. People now think he's the person. You will see what will happen here. There will be people in hundreds, thousands, who are going to change destinies before this period is over.